The blind man received his sight and he worshiped Jesus Christ. Okay, that's the message I have for today as we continue in this verse by verse study through the Gospel of John. We're looking at John chapter 9 right here. So let's start off with verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. So, you know, a lot of times when people see people that have an affliction in life, whether they be deaf or blind or anything else, any other type of disability, sometimes people of religious systems might think that it's because they did something bad, or their parents did something bad, or maybe they came back. Some people believe in reincarnation and stuff like this. First of all, it says here, when the Lord said, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, obviously he's not talking in general. This all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He's talking sinning, having had something to do with the blindness of this man. So, you know, as I said, you know, people believe in all sorts of things, you know, reincarnation. That's what the Hindu people believe. You know, they believe in Hinduism, all life goes through birth, life, death, and rebirth. And this is known as the cycle of samsara. Okay, so they believe that people are reincarnated. They come back. For example, if a person has good karma in a previous life, then their Atman will be reborn or reincarnated into something better than they were previously. Others believe transmigration of the soul, to pass a death from one body or being to another. So all sorts of belief systems of folks in this world. But Jesus made it clear that this affliction was for the glory of God, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. You know, if you remember in Luke chapter 13, verses 1 to 5, let me read it to you. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So here was some disasters that struck, and people will think, oh man, you know, they deserved it. God's punishing them. That's the way we think sometimes. But the Lord is making that clear. No, they were no worse than anybody else. So not that God can judge people for certain things. There is a judgment of God. We know that. But the Lord is telling them, look, you're all sinners. Unless you repent, you're going to suffer the same fate as they did. Back to the Gospel of John, verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Wow. So a great miracle took place, folks. And the Lord starts out by saying, look, I must do the works of God. You know, the night's coming. Look, ultimately, he's talking about death. When death comes, obviously, you can't work anymore. So there was work to be done. And he says, I'm doing the work of the one who sent me. His father sent him. He had a mission to accomplish, and that's what he was doing. And that's exactly what he wanted the people to know. So, you know, if you look at Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, It says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. So the same theme is being spoken. You know, once it's over, folks, it's over. Once you breathe your last breath, it's over. No more kingdom work. You can't do anything. You can't preach the gospel. You can't share the word of God with people. It's over. That's it. So look at Isaiah chapter 38, verses 18 and 19. Same theme. For the grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee. As I do this day, the father to the children shall make known thy truth. Same thing. Look at 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16. The apostle Paul wrote these words. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. So, folks, you know, that's basically telling all of us, if you've been born again of the Spirit, you know, whatever you can do, do it while you're alive. You know, get unsaved loved ones, pray for them, share the gospel with them. Your co-workers, the same thing. Because there's coming a day, folks, when you won't be able to do anything. You know, you have the Spirit of the living God within you. If you've been truly saved, if you've been truly born again of the Spirit. And if you haven't, you might not be understanding what I'm talking about here yet. So anyway, if you look what the Lord did, he spit on the ground. So what he then took his saliva and mixed it with the dirt on the ground. He made clay. That's what it says here. And he anointed the eyes of that blind man, and he instructed that man to go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So you say to yourself, wait a second. You know, I read the Bible, I see Jesus, sometimes he doesn't even go to where the afflicted person would happen to be, whether they be sick or demon-possessed, and he just says, go your way or whatever, and the person's delivered of the demon or they're healed. Why would he tell this guy, why would he put this mud on the guy's eye and tell him to go wash? Well, you know, sometimes the Lord will test the obedience of a person. Oh, yes. And that's probably what was taking place there. If you remember Naaman the Syrian, that story, whom the prophet Elisha told him to dip himself seven times in the Jordan River because he had leprosy. And the man at first was enraged. You know, why is he telling me to go dip myself in the river seven times? And he wasn't going to do it, but then some of his servants, you know, talked him into doing it and said, look, this is the deal, you know, do it. So it was spiritual pride, and what happened, the man was cleansed. He decided to do it, and he dipped himself seven times in the water in the Jordan River, and he was healed. Look at it. In fact, it made the New Testament, Luke chapter 4, verse 27, it says, and many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving or except Naaman the Syrian. So here's Elisha bringing forth the word to the Syrian, was not part of the people of Israel, okay? Look at that. So look at the way the Lord works there. So the man obeyed the word that came forth from Elisha, and the man was healed, even though there were many lepers in Israel. And think about that now. You see, God's not a respecter of people, folks. And, you know, more and more you will see that. God will minister to the Gentile people, and that's good stuff. Anyway, let's get back. John chapter 9, verses 8 to 12. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he's like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and I washed and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. It's good, some good stuff, folks. So this guy, you know, he was blind and now he can see, and he's hearing the conversation go on and said, you know, isn't he the one that was blind? And some saying, you know, looks like him. Some saying, you know, yeah, I think that's him. And he says, I am he. Yes, it's me. I like that. So now they said, how were your eyes open? How'd this happen? So he tells them, a man named Jesus came along, made some mud, clay, anointed my eyes. He said, go to the pool of Siloam, wash, and I went. I received sight. So they wanted to know where he was. Verse 13, they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime or before time was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. So you see, this man is going over and over, repeating the story. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was division, among themselves. Here, you know, the Pharisees, this is the religious leaders now, the Jewish people. How did this happen to you, sir? Well, this is what happened. He told him the story, you know, made mud, put it on my eyes, went down to wash at the pool, and that's that. So keep in mind now, watch this. It was done on a Sabbath day. Do you see how already we're seeing this in the Gospel of John, these miracles of the Lord that were done on the Sabbath day? The Lord was dealing with the Jewish people, folks. He is Lord over the Sabbath. He's greater than the Sabbath. So this is what enraged them. And because he did this miracle on the Sabbath, see, the Sabbath was a day when you're not supposed to work. And this is considered work. So this is why they went after Jesus. They said, this man cannot be of God. Think about this. He was God. He was God in the flesh. So here's the religious crowd, unsaved, on their way to hell, and they're saying, this man cannot be of God. This is what you need to see. So folks, Jesus, remember what Jesus said? He says, I come to do the work of the one who sent me, and nothing's going to stop me. So he's doing miracles on the Sabbath day. He, you know, you got to remember, folks, the devil works 24/7. He doesn't take a rest. He will deceive people 24/7. Oh, yes. So the Lord's coming into the world. Here he is ministering, doing miracles, and he's doing these things all day long, every day of the week. Glory to God. Verse 17, they say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. Now, okay, this is good. So the man referred to Jesus, he called him a prophet. Now, keep in mind, he didn't realize who he was at that point in time. But he did know that Jesus was special. So now they asked the parents, they want to get right to the bottom of this, you know, is that your son? He was born blind? And they basically said, yes, we know that that is our son and he was born blind. Okay? So that's good. But, and here comes the big but. Let's go to verse 21. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. So, you know, this is powerful because the Gospel of John, folks, was written by the Apostle John. And he made a point of making sure that this was included. Why did he include this? He wanted people to know that the parents lied. That's what they did. Because it says here, These words spake his parents. Why? Because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ or Messiah, in other words, if any man were to say that Jesus was the Messiah, he should be put out of the synagogue. You're getting out. Get out. You can't come here anymore. So the parents knew that Christ, Jesus Christ, healed their son. You know, keep in mind, folks, this is your child. From birth, that child could not see. In other words, what a burden. You're raising a child now. It's that much more difficult because they can't see. So for years, they're raising this child. So now the child is healed miraculously. But because the Jewish people, for fear of the Jews, the religious pressure was so strong that they lied and said, we don't know. Ask him. He's a big boy now. Go ask him. They had an opportunity to confess Christ. Think about that. An opportunity to confess Christ before men. But the pressure, they wanted to remain in the synagogue. That's what they wanted. They did not want to be kicked out of the synagogue. They were afraid. So even though their son, who was blind from birth, had this miraculous healing from Jesus Christ, they would not say that he did it. And that is kind of scary. So it was the fear of what the Jewish people would do. You know, there are some preachers today, folks, you know, that same fear remains. They will hold back the truth. You know, there will be ecumenical meetings taking place. You know, after 9/11, 20 years ago, there was quite a few of ecumenical type of services that took place where people of all different religions were praying together because it was such a tragedy. And here you have all people praying together. You know, that doesn't fit, folks, because the gospel of Jesus Christ stands alone. In other words, Jesus made it clear that there's only one way to heaven, and it's through him. So you can't be praying with people who believe otherwise. You don't do it. I think there was a group of Lutherans, if I remember correctly, that were at one of those meetings, and people rebuked them from the leadership or something, said you should not have been doing that, which is good. Good for them for doing that. So, you know, people, you know, and we live in such a time of great gross compromise, ladies and gentlemen, that, you know, sometimes people when they're at these type of meetings or maybe not even an ecumenical, they'll pray in his name. They won't pray in the name of Jesus Christ. They'll pray in his name. In whose name? You could be praying to the man in the moon. If you're a Christian, you pray in the name of Jesus Christ. You make it clear to people that you believe that there is absolutely no other way to heaven. That's what the Christian believes. And if you don't do that, then you're compromising the gospel. Remember what Jesus said, you know, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven, etc., before the angels and so on. So, folks, it's a serious thing. So just because we're living in a day of such gross compromise does not mean that you have to follow along with that stuff. Oh, yes. So don't ever forget that. Verse 24, then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner, meaning Jesus. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I've told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? So, you know, this man's excited for the first time, folks. He's viewing the world in living color. Think about that. I mean, this guy was blind. So this guy is such a joy, and now these people are coming against him. They're haunting him. They won't let him they won't let him just live and be glad that he was healed by this man, Jesus. So, you know, folks, it was their hatred of Jesus Christ that was at the root of everything that was happening here. They would not allow this to go because people were watching. They knew this man was healed. There was probably a lot of joy, and they didn't like Jesus. So this is what this was all about. Verse 28, then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, meaning Jesus, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God, and doeth his will, him he heareth. So, the Jewish leadership, they were absolutely infuriated because he suggested that perhaps they would become his disciples. And that's why they said, we're Moses' disciples. They're following after a man named Moses, whom the Lord created, folks. But they could not comprehend who the person of Jesus Christ was. Verse 32, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. So this is the point of the conversation where they lost it. They went berserk, folks. And he's basically saying, look, since the beginning of time, since the world began, it's not been heard about a man blind from birth being healed. I can see now. And so he says, if this man, meaning Jesus, were not of God, he could do nothing. And so they're saying, look, you were born in sins. And you're trying to teach us? And that's when they said, get out of here. They cast him out. So, listen, do you see the spiritual pride there? They're telling us, this man, you were born in sins. You're a sinner. Well, they forget that we were all born in sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are none righteous, ladies and gentlemen. So let's go to verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Oh, that's powerful. This is very similar to the woman at the well, when the Lord identified himself to that Samaritan woman as the Messiah, he said, I that speak unto thee am he. So this is very similar when he said, Who is he, Lord? Who is the Son of God that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. So what did we learn here? He believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Jesus Christ told this man that he was the Son of God. The man believed, okay? Not only that, and he worshipped him, okay? So keep in mind, folks, the Jewish people cast him out and said, get out of here. And when Jesus heard that, this is when he went to the man. Isn't that beautiful? Folks, people let people throw you out of churches. If they're compromising, you speak up and they say, look, you won't be comfortable here. Good, go. Serve the Lord. That's the most important thing. Serve the Lord. So Jesus met the man exactly where he was. He identified himself as the Son of God. Keep in mind, the Jewish people do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Very important that you see that. He is not the Son of God. That's what they believe. You are not the Son of God. Now, if you take a look, folks, in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6, it says, Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. So, folks, Jesus Christ is God. Oh, yes, he is. Jesus Christ is God. So, it's very important. We're talking about the deity of Jesus Christ here, ladies and gentlemen. So I want you to see something here. In Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, it says, And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Now, I'm bringing this out to you, folks, because we see that this blind man worshipped Jesus Christ. And Jesus knew that only God should be worshipped. So I showed you from the Old Testament that God says, the Lord said, I'm the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. So now in Revelation, we see the one who's also calling himself the first and the last. He says, I am he that liveth and was dead. This is speaking of Christ, folks. You know, we're talking a deity of Jesus Christ. So this blind man worshipped Jesus Christ. And Jesus would have never accepted worship, folks, if he did not know who he was, God in the flesh. And I'll prove that to you. Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 to 10. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So the word, by the way, for worship is proskuneo. So I want to show you here, when the devil, when Satan came against Jesus Christ, Satan wanted worship. He still wants worship. He wants you to bow down before him and worship him. In fact, when you look at the Roman Catholic system with the Mary worship and the worship of stuff like that, that's Satan behind it, because he desires worship. So that's why, as a Catholic, I was deceived. I didn't realize I was worshiping the devil, but I was. So here, folks, the Lord knows. He told Satan to take off. Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, if you go to the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verse 14, it says, and the four beasts said, amen, and the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Jesus Christ lives forever and ever. Revelation 19, verse 4, and the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. By the way, the word for worship there, same Greek word, proskuneo, okay? Jesus received worship, okay? Revelation 19:10. I want you to see here in this verse here, when John, the same one who wrote the Gospel of John, he wrote Revelation, folks. And at one point, an angel was ministering to him, and John fell down to worship this angel. Watch what happens here. And I fell at his feet to worship him, proskuneo him, and he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So here, this angel who's in the presence of Almighty God, he knew enough that John should not fall down and worship him. You see that? The angel's not God. But Jesus Christ is God. The angel said, I'm of your brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So Jesus never refused worship. There are other instances you'll find, you know, healings that took place or whatever, where people worship Jesus. He accepted the worship because of who he was. You know, he would have been guilty of blasphemy, folks, if he was allowing this to happen. And in fact, he was not who he said he was. Back to the Gospel of John. Let's go now. Verse 39. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. A little tricky to understand this, but let me explain it to you. Jesus came to open the eyes of the blind, okay? So, obviously he came to open the eyes of this man. He was physically blind. So, but he also came to open the eyes of the spiritually blind. This man believed in the Lord. He was given sight. And then he believed on the Lord, so he was given spiritual sight. Now, the difference between the blind man and the unbelieving religious Jews, think about this. They saw physically, but they were spiritually blind, okay? So they're saying we have everything we need. So that's why when that man said to him, some of the Pharisees said to him, you know, are we blind also? Jesus now says to them, if ye were blind, you wouldn't have any sin. So what he was trying to tell them, folks, is that they were telling him, we have spiritual sight. We can see. We don't need you. We don't believe who you are. In other words, they didn't believe he was the Lord. They didn't believe he was the Son of God. They did not believe he was the Messiah. So in other words, we see. We have the spiritual sight. We don't need you. So he says, if you were blind, you wouldn't have sin. But you're saying, we see. And therefore, your sin remains upon you. Because they're telling him, we have spiritual sight. And he's telling them, no, you don't. And therefore, your sin is upon you. Why? They did not have a Savior. He was the one who came to save people from their sins. So by their rejecting him, their sins remained upon them. That's what he was saying there. That's exactly what he was saying. Because you say we see, therefore your sin remains. That's scary. So you know, as he said in John chapter 8, if you don't believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. So basically saying the same thing. So that ends the chapter, folks, as we go through this verse-by-verse Bible study. I want you to be blessed, and you have a great day.